Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I'm so grateful to be here this morning. It's pouring with rain here in Brooklyn, New York. But not in my heart. I'm very excited about today. So I have my list of order of service, and forgive me, I'm going to try and make sure I go smoothly through it. There are a couple of things I'm not entirely sure about, but I just can't remember from last time. But I believe now is when we all get to greet each other. And good morning, everyone. Yeah, just sort of share with each other how we are, like we would if we were in a sort of physical church. We'd shake each other's hands and say, "How are you doing today?" So maybe we can all just share a couple of words about how we are and maybe what the weather's like with us, or whatever it is, we would share ordinarily if we saw each other face to face. Now, what I didn't know if we have music while this is happening. So I don't know if someone could let me know, Ken or Lynn. I don't know if, what's happening there. So I'm gonna either be quiet or let go of that, Lynn. Okay, thank you, Lynn. I'm gonna let go of the mic for Lynn. I'll play some music and we'll give each other the peace.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence. Rising in love, we are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Satchidananda.
Thank you, Lynn. So we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. So I realize I'm kind of out of sync already. So I'm going to share our announcements, and then we'll have a prayer. Followed by our reading. So, announcements for today. And thank you, Ken, for putting our purpose on the site, I wanted to say, on the board. So, the first announcement is that this month's movie for the movie discussion group is The Legend of Bag of Vance, if you didn't know that, starring Will Smith and Matt Damon. I was really lucky. I took a couple of hours off work on Monday and watched this movie, and it is wonderful. So to help you prepare for the movie discussion group while you're watching a movie, Jacqueline has very kindly created a play sheet which offers helpful questions designed to facilitate a spirit-centered movie watching experience. And you can find that play sheet on our website under Things to Read, Awakening Together News, and just look for the post announcing February's movie. And you can also find the link to play sheet by if you search the website for Bag of Ants. And Ken's just put the link there, so it's great. And The Legend of Bag of Ants is available to rent on iTunes, Amazon, YouTube, and Vudu. And I was so inspired that I actually went back through the collection of past movies I had missed from the movie discussion group and kind of had a day where I watched those too. So it was great. Second announcement, Regina is going to be in Oregon for a 3-day retreat from July 20th to 22nd. The retreat's going to be held at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon. And Regina has named the retreat Awakening from Self, little S, to Self, big S. She's also written a retreat description, but as you know, Regina, she doesn't know really how the retreat's going to unfold until she gets there, and the retreat starts happening. So, but there is a description, and you can find that on the link Ken's just posted in the room. You can also go to the website and look under retreats and classes, and then retreats to learn more if you want to be part of that experience. And we have two classes that are currently open for registration on the Awakening Together website under the same retreats and classes menu. The first is True Meditation, which focuses on teaching meditation and contemplation based on Adyashanti's teaching, and I'm facilitating that class. And it's a 3-week class for $60 and begins on March the 1st, and you can register on the website. The reason I offered to facilitate this kind of out of MPP schedule was because I find it so valuable. I mean, I get so much out of facilitating it, but it really was so helpful to me, and I can see how it would be so helpful to many others because we can kind of wander around in meditation for years and wonder why we're never really having a direct experience of self. And it's often because of the meditation that we're doing. And this meditation taught in True Meditation, coupled with Regina's course, the course with it, really gets you to the point of being able to just sit in self easily. So I think it's just invaluable. But so you can register on the website if you want to do that. And the second class for registration that's open is the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. That's with Reverend Jay McCormick, and that's going to be a 6-week class. The objectives are to consider the legend, living example, and teachings of a great sage and determine what is most helpful to one's own spiritual process. It'll also be practicing self-inquiry in order to distinguish between what is and is not the self, and we'll talk a little about self-inquiry and how valuable that is later. And you'll also practice removing attention from the non-self and placing it with the self using a spiritual practice that is most suited for you now. Again, that's very applicable to what we're going to talk about today. So that class is 120 with 6 weeks, and that begins also on March the 1st. And you can have a look on the Awakening Together website for more information and to register. And if you are in the room, Ken has very kindly put up the links to those classes, so you can just click on them or cut and paste them, whatever it is you want to do. Okay. So just to open today, before our reading, I wanted to start with a prayer. And so I just invite you to join me in the room or on the radio, wherever you are. I know it's a little uncomfortable because I'm going to use the word I, and I have troubles with that anyway, but also I hate to speak for others, but I'm sure you'll realize I'm speaking speaking from. It's like a shared feeling, and obviously you can use whatever words you want or not listen to me at all. So, just moving into the heart and out of the busy mind. Beloved, I welcome you today to join us. Please help me let go of the little I, the person, the Helen, and allow myself to just share from whatever it is that you would like to share. Please help us cultivate the willingness to let go of all that distracts us from resting in you and perfect peace. We offer up all of ourselves to you and ask that you meet us to help us go that last mile. We thank you for the blessings of aliveness that we have today. For all of our teachers, for our community. Amen. So now we're going to have a reading from Reverend Mary Fonseca. So I'm going to let go of the mic so she can take the mic and introduce the teaching.
Hello, thank you, Helen, and good morning, everyone. And the reading today is from NTI Corinthians 1, chapter 15 and 16. Chapter 15. Let me remind you of the simplicity of what I request. I do not ask you to judge which thoughts are to be laid down and which thoughts are to be kept, for such a request would keep you busy and stuck with an illusion for an eternity. I ask you to willingly lay down everything but your trust. This is why the symbol of an empty shell is given. Keep nothing but the casing, which is trust. In this way, you hold on to nothing that blocks out truth, and truth may be freely given and freely welcomed as it is received. What is received when all that is false has been let go is only that which reflects truth. This, which is received as truth, shall fill you with new eyes and a joyous heart. In this way, you will be ready to point the way, for you will no longer be fooled by that which is false. You shall have a taste of truth. It is upon this recognition, which is the completeness of recognition within time, that you enter the fourth and final earthly phase of the path of truth with me. The fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground. As you walk the earth, you know where you walk, so that the earth is merely a symbol within the mind. You shall not know your brothers, but you shall talk to them. You will not need food, but you will eat with joy. Music shall accompany you in your every moment, and yet you will have no need for your ears. Your sight will be changed from earthly sight to sight that is provided from heaven. All things shall be new, and you shall have no need for any of them. In this, your joy shall be complete. The purpose of your life in the fourth phase of living on earth shall not be different than the purpose at any other time. Only now, in the fourth phase, the distractions have been erased. In letting yourself become an empty shell, you freed yourself from the desire for distraction. Now in the fourth stage, your focus is complete. Now you know what you want, and you want it wholly. During the fourth phase, there are no distractions. During the fourth phase, there are no fears, there are no doubts, and there is no feeling of guilt. There is only a knowing of what is true and a life that is a willingness for acceptance. The one that seems to be in the fourth stage is but a symbol of the truth that is. So this one must pass away also. But in its passing, you pass from a final illusion of beauty to capital B beauty that cannot be contained in illusion. You pass from form, which reflects light, to light, which shines into form. You shall not know death in your passing from the fourth phase to light, for this passing is recognition of life. This passing is acceptance of all that is true and all that has always been true. This passing is the final release of illusion so that no illusion may appear to you. And death is an illusion, so you shall not know death because you have accepted that illusion does not exist. Therefore, be willing to become an empty shell and be willing for this completely. For it is through emptiness that illusion is released, and it is through releasing it that illusion is taken away. Chapter 16. Set aside your thoughts of division. When you see them in your mind or in the playing out of thought within the world, rejoice. What you see is not true. Be happy that you have found willingness to deny that which is false, for inherent in its denial is the willingness to accept only that which is true. The door that is opened is the doorway to the light, which is also the doorway to yourself and your brothers who are one with you. In passing through that doorway, you cannot return, for to return would be to pass from awareness to the belief in lack of awareness and division. One who knows wholeness after experiencing the lack of wholeness knows illusion is no substitute for truth. He shall not choose illusion again. But being of one mind with all that he thought was separate, he shall remain as a memory to call the mind that sleeps into wakefulness, and that all that is whole may know itself as one and whole again. It is your brothers who are you in truth. Look beyond their illusion, and you look beyond your own. Forgive them their mask, and you forgive your own. Accept them as innocent and as love, and you accept yourself. Reject nothing that is true and accept nothing that is false, and you free yourself of your own willingness. Do everything in love, which is trust and acceptance within the world. In this way, you look beyond the world to the truth that is your reality, and you accept it into your heart once again. In this way, you greet your brother in his truth, and in this way, you greet and welcome yourself. There is only one. All else is false. It is an image over the truth which remains true behind it. It is a mask on the light that is you. It is nothing permanent, and so it is not real. It deserves gratitude as an expression of freedom, but ask to give it nothing more. Say thank you and give it release. Peace be in your mind, for there is nothing to fear. All that you give to yourself. Let the gift that has been given be appreciated and let go. It is only a reflection of your freedom. It is not a reflection of your truth. In truth, you are whole. In freedom, you are an expression. Release the expression you no longer want. Know yourself as whole and free again. Amen. I release the mic.
Thank you so much, Mary. So I thought maybe we'd just take a minute perhaps and just kind of let the reading and teachings from MTI sink in. So before I sort of comment on this reading, just wanted to share one of the core values that sort of arose for me through this teaching, through this reading. I actually couldn't decide between three and five, so I'm going to just read the two of them. So our third core value, we accept one true self, which is one presence of being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And number five, we accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And I liked the combination of the two because as we reflect or sort of let go of this belief in the individual self, I also think it's wonderful to honor all experiences and appearances at the same time, which I feel is really sort of said here, in particularly in chapter 16. You know, it deserves gratitude as an expression of freedom, but asked to give it nothing more. So we can sort of honor the experiences as they arrive, but always remain in the self. The first few lines of the reading Mary kindly shared, let me remind you of the simplicity of what I request. I do not ask you to judge which thoughts are to be laid down and which thoughts are to be kept, for such a request would keep you busy and stuck within illusion for an eternity. I ask you to willingly lay down everything but your trust. So sometimes this can seem like a really enormous, almost impossible task. And we kind of naturally break down in our heads, like the word everything, and we start itemizing it. So we're like, okay, I'm gonna give up all thoughts, all emotions, all my desires, all the doubts that arise. Every time there's fear arises, I'm gonna give that up. Every time there's resistance, that's going. The memories and fantasies, they're off. The imaginings, my beliefs. And we can sort of it can seem just overwhelming. But NTI is so clear here. It's like, we don't have to judge what to lay down. We're like, this one, not this one, this judgment, this belief, this doubt. Oh no, it's just, we're laying it all down, all of it. And the thought kind of arises, whoa, hang on, but might I not need some of it? Like, maybe it might be helpful to have some memories and some doubts, maybe some fears. But who needs it? Who needs it? Does self need anything? Can we just trust that what we need will arise itself? So the way I also like to think about this is sort of trying to let go of the idea this is something complex and hard, because we can get tricked into thinking, crikey, you know, how much do we have to do here? We could be doing this for years and years and years. And Papa G, there's a quote in his book, This, it's just called This. And it says, the only way not to have peace is to be engaged in something else, is to be attached to something other than yourself. So I just want to read this again. The only way not to have peace is to be engaged in something else, is to be attached to something other than yourself. There is only one way. So it's just another way of looking at this teaching from TI. There's only one way not to have peace, and that is to be focused on anything other than the self. So not to judge what has to stay and go. Anything other than focusing and resting in the self is not truth. So this, we can kind of just take the anything as all of it and just see it as anything other than self or truth is off. We have to think about thoughts, desires, you know, make this list of all the things we have to get rid of. If it's not self, it's going. because there's only one way not to have peace, and that's if we hold on to any of that. We don't lay down all of that. Okay, I kind of get that, yeah. How do we do it? So first, you know, we have to notice all of it, to let it go. And, you know, this noticing, for speaking for myself, seems to be like a combination of willingness, like just setting this intention almost, that kind of runs as a background throughout the day of just, I'm willing to lay it all down. Like my heart's desire is to know truth, and so I'm willing to lay it all down. During the day, I forget that sometimes, most of the time, I think. But it's there, and I feel like it's just this kind of like foundation that sometimes grace will step in halfway, you know, to meet me halfway, and during the day, something, I will just become conscious of a thought or a desire, and so I'm able to see it and let it go. And that kind of practice is also increased by contemplation and meditation, you know, or being still, because, you know, in those moments of contemplation, meditation, being still, it's like we're putting on training wheels or getting comfortable in that seat, and exercising a muscle to become more aware. That's all it is, really. It's become like this muscle building of becoming more aware of the thoughts and desires as they arise. And then, say, grace is kind of this other part that I feel comes in that process of beginning to notice the things that we can then choose to let go of. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm driving and all of a sudden I very clearly see an emotional thought that's been distracting me. Or I'm in the supermarket, you know, and I think I'm looking at like the ingredients on a mustard jar, but actually I become aware that I'm actually thinking about how annoyed I am that I'm having to do the grocery shopping. I'm not there reading these ingredients of the mustard jar at all, or something is, but really I'm more interested in these other thoughts. And when we can see them, we can then be happy, because now we have something to work with. Now we have something to practice. Now we have the opportunity to lay it all down. And as you know, Corinthians 1:16 says here, when you see them in your mind or in the playing out of thought within the world, rejoice. What you see is not true. And be happy you have found willingness to deny what is false. Set aside your thoughts of division. I'm just going to read that again. When you see them in your mind or in the playing out of thought within the world, rejoice. What you see is not true. Be happy you have found willingness to deny what is false. And set aside your thoughts of division. So that's great. We've got this first process of where thoughts, we're building this muscle to become more aware of all the stuff that we're going to lay down, or so it seems. And then we can rejoice. Great, they're here. And then we lay it down. And then this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. So I described a thought process of thoughts on Wednesday evening that I thought was like kind of an example of sometimes the challenges of this, and how we can be duped into believing that picking and choosing what we should and shouldn't lay down, as NTI says here, you know, you're not being asked, we're not being asked to judge which thoughts to be laid down, which thoughts to be kept, we're laying it all down. So I was brushing my teeth in the morning, I think, and I kind of caught these thoughts, or became aware or conscious of these thoughts through grace and willingness, I'm sure, because I don't know why else that would have happened. And this fantasy that was rolling out in my head as I brushed my teeth was about how I would become the guardian of my brother's second child, because in his fantasy, my brother had passed away, as had his wife, and this is the kicker, one of his children had also gone. And so now I was going to be guardian of this second child. And how awesome that was going to be. But hang on a minute, she had a brother, so that brother might be the guardian. Well, he'd have to go too, yeah. I don't know how, but maybe there's like some bus they're on. It's just her. And then hang on, she's got parents. Okay, and how am I going to get this one to America? And like, I just saw this fantasy kind of playing out. And I'll just say that my family, my brother and his family, are very thankfully alive and well and happy, and I am grateful that that is the case. But I'm aware of this whole fantasy that's played out, and it's immediately followed by an enormous sense of shame. Like, you know, what kind of person is the thought running through your mind? What kind of person are you, Helen, that is thinking about his brother dying and one of his children, just so like you get to have one of his kids? Like, what kind of person are you? And then there was some sort of memories in there of how this is sometimes a thought that often arises when things are a bit of a challenge for me. The mind will just knock into a fantasy about someone leaving the picture and my life becoming easier. But there's always this massive feeling of shame that comes with it. And it was immediately followed by another thought that said, well, you know what, you know, maybe I watched something or read something that spurred that thought. So I've had this attack and then this immediate defense. I'm just watching this happen. Yeah, you know, and then there's another thought that comes in. Well, you know what, you and Bill really want children, and it looks like you might not be able to have them. So it just, it's, this thought has come up from a desire, and it's your desire for children. That's all. Don't worry about it. And I noticed that this last thought kind of made me feel a lot better. And I could have just finished brushing my teeth and gone on with my day and kind of thought, yeah, no, it's all good. Like, it's just my desire for children. Like, I'm not a bad person. It's all fine. And while this thought was perhaps more helpful than all the others, like, because it was the kinder thought, and it was kind on myself, and it was kinder about the situation, but it was still a thought, you know, and it was helpful because it showed me that my desires are spinning out these thoughts. But again, it was just a thought. And so, you know, I just let go of all of that, of all of these thoughts. I didn't take one and say, I'll keep this one. This one feels good. this one feels better than the others, so I'm going to keep that one and let that one stay. No, I just kind of took it as an all and knew I had to let it all go. And what does that mean, letting it all go in practice? And it's just this turning of the you know, the that which was conscious of these thoughts, turning the awareness back on that. So instead of just sat in this conscious place watching the thoughts, instead just watched the awareness, watched the consciousness. So awareness watching awareness is something that we talk about, moving into self, shining the light on self, letting go of thoughts. They're all this sort of similar way of saying, in my mind, although it feels more active rather than say letting go of thoughts or whatever it is, yeah, just moving, like changing the focus, like moving back to the self. And for me, that feels a lot like going within and sort of sensing what is there. Sometimes it helps me to say, who is aware? Who is the one that is aware? And that kind of turns the focus back on the consciousness, like whose consciousness, who is the consciousness, and that can help it. So it's just sort of a way of coming back to that. And you know what, we think this is hard to do sometimes. Like, some thoughts don't want to go, but we think it's going to be hard. Like, there's an urge there to maybe keep some of the thoughts, or a resistance. And this is really where trust, I think, comes in. You know, it talks here about this, like laying everything down but trust. And this symbol of an empty shell, keeping nothing but the casing, which is trust. Because I was thinking about this just logically. And, you know, you can think, okay, well, I give up these thoughts, but I keep coming back and I keep coming back. It's not working. Keep coming back, and doubt can begin to arise. Because this, you know, today, I, for example, this is an ongoing thought that keeps arising, and I have to keep letting it go. It's something to do with my poor partner Bill doesn't do enough housework. I'm always the one who does the housework. This isn't true. Logically, I can see this is not true. I do marginally more housework than him, but who cares? He actually doesn't insist on a clean house the way I do. So, but it keeps coming up. And I thought, well, I don't know if it's ever going to go. And I had some doubt about it. But I remembered the other things I've quit in my life. So I was a huge smoker. I smoked 10 to 20 a day for about 15 years. And I remember when I quit smoking, I had a really strong willingness to quit smoking. And luckily for me, what normally gets my willingness going is shame. Like, I was really ashamed of smoking. I was forever like washing my face, washing my hands. I would wrap a towel around my head if I had a cigarette, because I didn't want my hair to smell. I wanted no one to know that I smoked anymore. It was just like a whole thing I just didn't want to go through. So my willingness was strong. And I remember when the first couple of days of quitting, every half hour a thought would arise, time for a cigarette. And it would be a little bit of a battle, just, okay, no. And it would just pop up again and again and again. And maybe for 5 or 10 minutes, it would keep going. And I would just keep ignoring it. And sometimes if it got bad, I would go and have a biscuit. I ate a lot of biscuits when I quit smoking. I wouldn't recommend substituting. But it just started to fade. And I'm sure you can think of things you've quit in your life. Within a week, the thought was not as strong. It didn't last 5 minutes. It maybe came every half hour, but it lasted 20, 30 seconds maybe. And then after about 10 days, it pretty much went. Like, it just didn't, I mean, maybe it just like passed through like a cloud passing through the sky, and I could just kind of let it go. Then very interestingly, about the third week, it came back with a vengeance. Like, it was all I could think about was having a cigarette. Now, I don't know whether it was in the dying throes or what was happening, or whether my body's chemicals were just reacting at this point. I don't know. But and that became like my big test. And I just managed to, because of my willingness and grace, I'm sure, just ignore it. And then after week three, that was it. Like, it was 5 years ago I quit. And I was reminded of this process because the other night I went out for a glass of wine, something else I quit for a long time. I had a glass of wine, and I suddenly thought, whoa, there's something I really want to do right now. What is it? And I realized it was having a cigarette. And I was like, wow, I just haven't maybe thought about that for over a year. You know, maybe once a year I get this thought, this urge, but I'm just so able to see it with almost like a joy. One, I'm so grateful I don't smoke anymore because it's saving me tons of money and I don't have to feel shame anymore. But also I was glad it arose because I could just like sweep it away. So we know that we can do this. If we look back at anything that we've managed to quit, we know that we can trust in the process of just letting go of these thoughts when they come to us, like, oh, I really want that bit of cake, and I've never been on a diet. You'll have these thoughts all the time. We just manage. And then they fade. We know that they fade. Drinking was another one for me. I, again, was not allowed on a plane. I had quite a drinking problem. Wasn't allowed on a plane. But I hadn't even been drinking. I just had so much in my system. I must have just reached like a brewery. They wouldn't let me on a plane. And I thought, well, I can't have this. So I quit cold turkey. Again, my willingness was huge. But that took, like, for 9 months, 6 months, I slept about 14 hours a day. And I had all sorts of physical sugar withdrawals after about the 3 week mark that were quite serious. And I'd say about after 9 months, it just smoothed out. And I never sort of felt, you know, I wasn't going to attach myself to anything around this process. So I still went out with my friends and they drank and I didn't. And I wasn't worried about any of that. But there was this physical sensation that I just kind of just had to watch and let it just sort of ride through, and it did. So maybe if we thought, sort of think back to those times in our lives where we've quit something and we've done it, we can just apply the same process to everything that's not self. You know, all of it. Doubts rise, off they go. And they come back and off they go. And not to lose faith in that process and keep trusting that process, because we do, you know, we know it will work. And sometimes we forget, but sometimes that's why I think sometimes it's helpful to hold on to these memories of things we've quit and say, it's just the same. Those were thoughts as well that arose, and I managed to kick those. And I thought, as Ash Wednesday is coming up on Wednesday, whereas I'm not familiar with this, but I kind of think it's the day, first day of Lent, where you quit something for Lent. I thought, oh, this will be wonderful. I'm going to quit bread or sugar. I haven't decided. My weakness is, not sure which one I want to give up. But I thought I would do this for Lent. And so I can watch that process take place, those urges of letting them go over a period, and see again how they fade, So how we can, and how that will inspire me in my practice of letting everything else go. And this, you know, it seems like a struggle, but the crux of what I wanted to share today, and I called this the snake and the rope, because, and this is kind of this thing that's really, this concept that's really, really concept, well, it's concept, I guess, and this concept that's really helping me at the moment is this idea that we look at all the things that arise, thoughts, desires, doubts, memories, fantasies, as something we have to give up, and they're kind of a snake, you know, like when I was saying this thought I was having about my brother and his family, and then this sort of shame. It can feel like, oh, this is terrible, how am I going to do this? But it's not a snake, it is a rope. It's not real. And I thought this, you know, this idea of a snake and a rope is as we're becoming aware of all of our thoughts, and we're not laying down them down immediately and returning to self, that they can sort of distract us or hook us in for a little while. We can just kind of try and remember they're not a snake, they're just a rope. So Papaji and Ramana use this analogy a lot in their teachings about the snake and the rope. But it was really Muji that kind of got this to sink in with me, that all of it that is not self-truth is just a rope. So we walk down the street and we see something on the ground and we go, oh my God, it's a snake. Oh my God, it's a snake. So it's the equivalent of us like seeing a thought and saying, oh my God, I'm a bad person for thinking these thoughts. Or, oh wow, why do these memories about my ex keep popping up? And, oh my God, I feel so guilty. Or I'm afraid of what will happen if I let this thought go, or that emotion. Like maybe I'm just going to let people walk all over me if I don't hold on to this belief. Or what if I stop judging this person as harmful? Like the world will fall apart. And all of that is a snake. But it's not. It's just a rope. We think it's a snake, but it's just a rope. It doesn't require our attention, because it's just a rope. We wouldn't even look at a rope. If we walked past it on the street, we would just carry on walking, just a bit of string. And it doesn't even require our analysis, really. Now, analysis, and I mentioned this on Wednesday, like, can be really helpful. Because once you've analysed enough of this stuff that comes up, you can kind of realise that at the root of it all is just this belief in the little I. Just a belief that the little self has any control in the game, that it's important. It's like this arrogance that it's there. It's just that. Because the root of everything is just that. So, you know, analysis, you say, can help, because once you look at your doubts or your fears, or even like, why am I thinking, why do I think Bill has to do more homework, housework than me? It would all come back to this belief in the little eye, which is the snake. But we don't have to do that anymore, because everything arising is just a rope. It's not even true. The little eye doesn't exist. So it's not a snake, it's just a rope. None of this exists. It's just a rope. So our only role is really just to watch it from the place of self and stay in that place. So I've been, say, sort of thankful that some of these larger, more rooted, I'm going to call them, even that's an illusion, thoughts arise, and I can feel like what appears to be a struggle. The struggle is just a rope. The struggle is not real. The struggle is not a snake. It's a rope. The thought was a rope. The struggle was a rope. This idea that there's an I who even has to let go of his thought, that's a rope too. I can just return all of that focus, all of that energy that would have gone on into that, just back to the self. Who is aware of all this? Who is aware? And of course, being grateful that we're conscious of it, because automatically if you're sitting in a place of consciousness, watching what's arising, you're already there. You're already there. You just got to move that, turn that focus back in to the self. So, sort of, and as it sort of mentions in Corinthians, it's like, then we move into this wonderful fourth phase where we have freed ourselves from the desire of distractions. And this, the snake and the rope is the same notion as it says in our reading today. It is a mask on the light that is you. That's all it is. It's just a mask. It's the same as saying it's just a rope. It's a mask on the light that is you. It is nothing permanent, and so it is not real. It deserves gratitude as an expression of freedom. How wonderful that consciousness can express itself in a myriad of forms. How wonderful. How wonderful. And how wonderful that we are that consciousness, but not the little I. We have nothing to do with it. Person, body, mind, whatever word you want to use, have nothing to do with it. So it deserves gratitude as an expression of freedom, but ask to give it nothing more. You just say thank you and give it release. And thank you and return the focus, the awareness, back to that which is seeing it, resting in self. And we know it's not real. Sometimes it's helpful to look and just take a closer look, just to sort of reinforce this. Oh no, it isn't real. I thought it was a snake, but now I can see it's a rope. I can see that now it's a rope. So for example, the other day I was lost in some memories. A song came on the radio and I ended up going down memory lane, some nostalgia. And I kind of saw that those were snakes too. They were like cute snakes, kind of furry, very little snakes. But when I looked, I saw there were images, there memories, there were thoughts. They weren't even tangible. To be honest, I don't even know if they ever happened. They're just not tangible. They don't exist. The people who I was thinking about and the things that we were doing and this wonderful, lovely feeling I was having was not what was arising in the present moment, like in reality. It was just complete imaginings. But they were kind of, as I say, like furry little snakes. And momentarily, there was a pause of like, hang on, I'm quite enjoying bathing in these memories. But even then, I could see that they were harmful because they were making me pine for a different time. They were taking me away from the present moment. So I was able just to appreciate that. Thank you. These are just snakes. And it was very big for me because memories, I'm a bit sentimental. I get a lot of nostalgia sometimes, get a bit nostalgic. And it was really helpful because now I can just not go down that path again whenever I can feel the nostalgia coming on. So I've already been here, done that. It's a rope. It's a rope. It's nothing. Just nothing. Back to self. So I was able to just return my awareness back to myself. And that's like... And it was helpful to me because when we're thinking about how it's everything, sometimes I just think thoughts, it's all the thoughts. But there are nuances of thoughts, like emotions have thoughts attached, desires have thoughts attached to them, but they feel like everything feels slightly differently and memories feel a bit different and we can feel like, no, I quite like to keep these. But all of it, anything that's not true self, letting go. As Papaji says also in his reading in this, any beauty other than self is a dead corpse in a nice dress. And I just love this. I just love this. Like, we think it's all pretty and lovely, but it's dead. It doesn't exist. It's a dead corpse. Like, all these wonderful memories I was having, they're not real, they're dead. And he says, attachment to these things is living in a grave with dead bodies. And when you live in the association of the mind, you are in a graveyard. When you inquire, you are free. When you turn that focus back, inquire, who is this consciousness? Who is it that's aware? And that rest in the self, if you're not into asking the inquiry like that. Then you become free. But I love this thought of, like, that is where aliveness lies. You will see the world in its full aliveness from the place of self. When you are in your thoughts and desires and all that baggage that we just class as everything and all, everything we're going to let go, they're just corpses. Sometimes in pretty dresses, sometimes in horrible dresses, but it can all go. And Papaji says, doubting this freedom is clinging to bondage. Doubting this freedom is clinging to bondage. And how do we, so this brings us back to our empty shell of trust. Trust, I always think, is like, you know, in the game of scissor, rocks, scissor, paper, stones. Is that what it is? Scissor, paper, rock? Scissor, rock, paper? And trust is like the paper to doubt that's the rock. You know, it just kind of, paper just wraps around rock, cancels it out, nets it out. You're done. And these thoughts are saying everything is just, the asking laid down is dead. And only when we sit in the self without the mask or the distractions, then can we see this aliveness, this present expression of consciousness in all of its myriad of forms. And we are that. And whatever that is that's coming through, then we could just deepen into that. What is that? What is that? What is that? And here, you know, even when it says in NTR in this reading, you shall not know death because you have accepted that illusion does not exist. When I read this, and I'm actually still not sure if it's talking about physical death of the body, I feel like it might be. But for me, it says, you shall not know death because you have accepted that illusion does not exist. It's saying you'll no longer walk in that graveyard because you have accepted that it was all just a rope. The illusion didn't exist. And now you sit in the full aliveness and embodiment of consciousness that you and all that is. And that can never die. So even when the physical body drops, you're still there. You're not in a graveyard. Now we forget that we're walking around in a graveyard when we're supposed to be alive in our daily lives, when we're wearing this mask. So I was just going to read this fourth phase and how lovely it is, so we can have some sort of inspiration. The fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground. As you walk the earth, you know where you walk, so that the earth is merely a symbol within the mind. You shall not know brothers, but you shall talk to them. You will not eat food, but you will eat with joy. Music shall accompany you in every moment, and yet you will have no need for your ears. Your sight will be changed from earthly sight to sight that is provided from heaven. All things shall be new, and you shall have no need for any of them. In this, your joy shall be complete. So we think we're giving things up, but there is nothing to give up, and there's no one to give it up. They're all just ideas. At the end of the day, there really is no snake wrestling that we need to do. Even that is just an illusion. This whole, you know, I'm in meditation and fear arises. It's just a rope. I'm foggy about teaching. I'm confused. Can the self be confused? No. Then it's just a rope. But my mind is so strong. Whose mind? It's just a rope. And as today's gentle healing, you know, reading, you are at peace. Nothing in all of reality can destroy your peace. That's who you are. Everything else is just illusion, rope, and we are laying it all down. And I'll just to conclude, read this first part again. Let me remind you of the simplicity of what I request. I do not ask you to judge which thoughts are to be laid down and which thoughts are to be kept, for such a request would keep you busy and stuck within illusion for an eternity. Don't be in the snake pit. I ask you willingly, lay down everything but your trust. So, I think that was, let me just check, see if there's anything else. I'm just going inside, see if there's anything else I wanted to share. I don't think so. Just really like this wonderful willingness of saying we're going to lay it all down, and then realizing that what we're laying down is nothing. We're not laying down really anything, nothing of value. And what we gain is aliveness. We gain all this back. So I think now it's time for open meditation and contemplation. Forgive me, but is there music that is played during this time? If so, I'll drop the mic for you, Lynn. Or is this silent contemplation? Yes, there is music. Okay, I'm just going to drop the mic then.
Gati para sangati bodhi swaha 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 gati para sangati bodhi swaha
Thank you so much, Lynn. That was just lovely. So perfect. And actually, halfway through, I was like, oh, I've come completely out of focusing on the self. And I felt my heart tingle a bit. And then you said it was a heart sutra. And I was like, ah. Oh. And then I let go of that thought. I didn't, but I will. now it's time for open sharing. So I don't know if anyone has anything they'd like to share. And Ken reminded me with the link to donations. I forgot to say that. Maybe as we're sort of waiting for some people, if you would care to donate to Waking Together, you could follow his link. Maybe I could ask Ken to post it again. Or you can head over to the website if you're not in the room. So I see Mary has her hand up for sharing. So I'm just going to drop the mic. I've been told there is not a hand up. It's just what appears in my room. Looks like there's a hand up. Okay. And thanks, Ken, for that link. There's the link for donations. Would anyone like to share maybe what they're going to give up for Lent, including their thoughts? Okay. Yeah, handing the mic over to you, Lynn.
Thank you so much, Helen, for this beautiful message. And I was so happy to hear that it was you who was the mystery minister today. I love your choice here of this thought. And, I've been watching out and kind of hanging out with Sailor Bob and seeing a lot of wonderful things that, it's just so clear to me what what he says is just so clear. It is either you are or you aren't. That's basically it. Either I am or I'm not. And something that Sabine posted on a couple days ago, that the moment the consciousness of I appears on you, you have the experience of the world. Therefore, you have the experience of suffering as well as happiness. Try to know the nature of this suffering and happiness, which is coming through the consciousness into the mind. And once you understand that, you know that you are not anything of the sort. Then that's all. That's it. You know, once you understand what this thing is, you know this is not what you are. And you know what you are is something beyond that. I asked yesterday in the satsang, can I go back to the moment before the I was formed, or the I came, the I recognized? Can I go back to that time and see, what happened and and not go there? And the answer was, you can do that now. You don't have to go back to that time. Right now, just look and see. What are the thoughts that are being formed that are not your own? What are the thoughts that are being messaged that are not the thoughts of God? That's really all we need to do. And I loved your reading of the talk about the difference between life and being alive and being dead. And being alive is living in Christ, and being dead is living in the world. It's a choice of life and death every moment. Anyway, thank you so much, Helen, and I'll let the mic go for Ruby.
Yes, can everybody hear me okay? Yes, that's perfect. Helen, that was absolutely right on for me. It was just a perfect lesson for me. My heart is pounding now. I wanted to share this experience that I had yesterday. George had recommended that we go on this Porsche tour. We belong to this Porsche club. And so I said, okay, so we went on this Porsche tour, and it included a hiking and a road trip. And then afterwards we went to lunch. And so we were a little late doing the hiking, so we got to the restaurant maybe 5 minutes after everybody else did. And so they had a seating outdoors and they had a seating inside. And so I wanted to sit outdoors. I really wanted to sit outdoors. And whenever I'm in a restaurant, I feel like I have to have the right seat in the right position to have the right ambience for me to really enjoy the meal. And that's something that is anyway. So we go in, there's no sitting outdoors, and we go inside. They said, well, the Porsche group, the other Porsche group is indoors, and there was one outdoors. So they said, they're over there in the group, and I'm sure there's some seats over there. So we went over there, and I'm not happy already because it's dark in the restaurant. We're going to this Porsche group, and we know them, but I hadn't been with the we hadn't done this in maybe a couple of 3 years or so. So I was feeling a little uncomfortable. So we go over to this group, we sit down, and the woman next to me kept chatting, 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 and she became so irritating to me. So I, it's kind of like this is disturbing my peace. My peace. She's chatting about nothing. So I get up, George is sitting down. I get up and go back to the front desk and say, is there any seats outdoors? Because I'm feeling it's really warm in here. And he said, there's none available now. I said, well, we'll sit at the bar and wait for a seat. So I come back and I just noticed that this was a pattern with me. And it included an extra thing of, the people, the chattering, and my peace. So I come to the table and I sit down and I had this shift. George was conversing with the individuals. The lady was chattering, her voice was so irritating, started talking to me just in a moment. It was just like in seconds, the whole situation changed. It was like those thoughts never were there. And I'm accounting that situation. It was just like a miracle, a shift. And it comes to what Helen was saying, the intention and the willingness and the desire to let go of stuff that is not your true self. Almost every day I've had this prayer to increase my willingness and my faith and my trust. So I'm thinking that this is what was happening because it was just a second of thought when it came into my mind. Miraculously, grace, you said grace. So grace stepped in and made my situation, and then I was able to see it. I was able to see the light in the situation. So I'm giving up the mic. Thank you so much, Helen, for your lessons, your speech, whatever. It was so beautiful. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ruby, for your sharing. And thank you, Lynn, for yours too. And I see Jacqueline's hand up, and But it's 11:25, and we have to wrap up. So I know that if you do want to carry on chatting, I know I do. Then 11:30, if we stay in the room, oh, never mind the chuckling. It's weekly fellowship with Reverends Rebecca and Ken, so we can talk a bit more there with their guidance. But otherwise, thank you so much. Thank you, Reverend Mary, for a beautiful reading. Thank you. And thank you, Reverend Gloria, for having this sort of opportunity for us ministers to do this. I'm really grateful for that. Thank you, Ken, as always. And thank you, Lynn, for your wonderful music. So dropping the mic, hope you all have a really beautiful week. And over to you, Lynn, for our closing song.